Welcome back to KSCJ Radio, 1360 AM, 94.9 FM in Sioux City, Iowa. I'm Brian Vakulskas, and this is Having Read That, conversations with authors about their books.
And I'm joined by Roger Bennett. He is the co-host of Men in Blazers, and he is the author of a brand new memoir. It is called Reborn in the USA, an Englishman's love letter to his chosen home. Roger is a Brit by birth and an American by choice. And Roger, the memoir really spoke to me because we came of age at the same time, you across the pond, me here in the Midwest. But what I loved about this book is you really gave us a chance to see America from an outsider's perspective as you're growing up loving America, the same way we grew up loving America in the United States. So what is it that gave birth to Reborn in the USA?
Oh, Brian, it is a joy to be with you in Sioux City, Iowa. Oh, I'm feeling Kirk Hinrich vibes as we speak. I wanted to write a book that was a telling of my American story. I grew up in Liverpool, England in the 1980s, the most magical city in the world, but at a time when the north of England was falling apart, the coal mines were closing, the steel mills, the cotton mills. If you've seen Billy Elliot, then you kind of get the picture.
Sure.
And unlike Billy Elliot, I wasn't very good at ballet dancing, but I lived in a black and white world of high unemployment and a lot of violence and a heroin epidemic. And I was able to make joy, make meaning, and live a life filled with promise by dreaming about America. And I inhaled every book, movie, band, television show, you know, Miami Vice, Heart to Heart, The Love Boat, Fantasy Island, John Hughes movies, the Chicago Bears Super Bowl winning team, Run DMC. All of these spoke to me deeply, 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 profoundly. Tracy Chapman, ultimately, and just lured me to want to move to America, which I did do. And so I wanted to write a book at this time of challenge that really expressed to America just how this nation can be seen from outside as a beacon of courage, joy, and possibility.
Well, and you talk, this is really a love letter to America, but in the book, you talk about this whole idea of soft power of America. Can you understand? Can you explain what that means?
Yeah, I can. It's a great question, because one of the triggers for writing the book, Brian, was there was a study done in 2017 by the Pew Foundation that showed that in Western Europe, only 46% of Western Europeans thought positively about America. And I found that appalling, because in times of doubt and just fear and chaos in my own life in the 1980s, America was a beacon of possibility and courage that really just propelled me to believe that I had a future in my own life. I painted the Statue of Liberty and the Manhattan skyline on my bedroom wall in Liverpool, and the last thing I'd see every night would be Lady Liberty's face. I'd arrange my curtains so the light fell on her face, and it gave me the confidence to just want to tackle life with passion and joy. And when you have stood in a courtroom, as I have, to become an American citizen with 162 other fellow new Americans from all over the world, and you hear their stories of how they, survived civil wars or famine or worse, and they did so dreaming of America as a place, the American idea, where life could just be different, joyous, and filled with love. And so I wanted to express that to America at this time of challenge for our nation, just the deep love, the deep reverence, and the deep wonder. Ultimately, I am who I am because of the culture, the soft power that America transmitted to me. They were almost like sirens that made me want to move here, which ultimately, is the idea around which I've organized my life. I have, and now I, even though I still sound English, I'm more American than Kenny Powers.
Oh, great reference there to Kenny Powers. But, one of the things that also spoke to me out of this book is your love and the attention that you paid to the NFL, particularly the Chicago Bears, as they had their magical season in 1985. And I remember watching that season. But you grew up in England where soccer, British football is the big thing. But how did the NFL kind of trickle into your subconscious there and into your full consciousness as you're getting dispatches from America? Because this is pre-internet.
Yeah, I mean, Brian, the Premier League is now the dominant football league in the world, but back in the 1980s, the hooligan culture predominated. Going to football, which I did all the time, it was a pretty nasty business, played by men who just wanted to get off the field and have a pint, and a cigarette, and the fans just wanted to beat the crap out of each other. And so onto my screens in 1982, the NFL started to beam a highlight show, an hour of footage from the previous week's game. So we were a week late, but we didn't know because it was the internet. It was not yet invented, so we had no way of finding out the results. And I'd never seen anything so dazzling, so swashbuckling. Billy White Shoes Johnson returning a kickoff for 83 yards, but only doing it so we could do the funky chicken in the end zone. It was mind-blowing to watch. And as a kid that told himself he was an American trapped in an English boy's body, my family had meant to move to Chicago, my great-grandfather, but it ended up in Liverpool because he got off the boat at the wrong stop. So I always felt Chicagoan, even though I'd never been there. And the NFL coming coincided with the Bears' rise that you witnessed too. And to watch this team throw away 20 years of failure, of self-sabotage, and just swagger, then trash-talk their way to glory. As a 14, 15-year-old, it was so glorious. It told me that I didn't have to be who I was. I could rewrite my own narrative. And it was deeply inspiring to watch William Refrigerator Perry and Walter Payton conquer all. Ultimately, I met them in Chicago. I flew over when I was 15, met William Perry in the airport at 4 a.m. in the morning, and he told me to dream big dreams, which I took as him saying, move to America. And it was really all I've done I owe to William Refrigerator Perry because he changed my life.
Well, what I loved is the story about how you found out game scores because you couldn't just pull up an app on your phone. How did you and your friends figure out whether the Bears won week to week?
Yeah, there was no internet, and we couldn't wait a week to find out if they'd won. And so we would go to my friend's house because my dad would kill me if I did this and ran up his phone bill. And when we knew the Bears were playing Sunday afternoon American time, we would just dial 312 numbers, random 312 numbers. People would answer, and we'd say, hey, how are the Bears doing? And God bless Chicagoans. They would talk to us for 30, 40 minutes. They'd give us our own private commentary. They'd be like, Jim O'Mahon's dropped back in the pocket. He's thrown for 20 yards to Willie Gulps. He's picking up extra yards. And we would follow the games with our own private broadcast, thanks to the generosity of Chicagoans. And I moved to that city as soon as I could after university. And I'm so indebted that every single dream that I had about what it would be like came true.
You mentioned the music, and the Beastie Boys were a group that you love, but things kind of went awry when you saw them in concert in Liverpool, right?
Yeah, I mean, Run DMC broke in when I was in Chicago, and I'd never seen a band so confident, so swaggering, using their mouths as fire hoses just to make their dreams come true, and I loved it. And then the Beastie Boys broke, and they were faintly audible all over Britain. They then came on a short tour, the License to Ill tour, and it just led to outrage, furor amongst older generations as they just trash-talked their way across England, which of course made everyone under the age of 18 love them even more. And they came to Liverpool on the last night of their tour. I went to watch them, sold-out gig. They didn't even get to play a song. They cursed out Liverpool before they came on stage. You don't do that in Liverpool. That's fighting talk, and they were canned off amidst a riot and tear gas, and Ad Rock was arrested. And that was the night I realized that English people would prefer to destroy the thing they love rather than savor it, and I knew that I had to get out. So I owe the Beastie Boys. It was an awful night, a night of trauma. Tracy Chapman broke shortly afterwards, and when she sang about leave, get out of where you are, don't stick around, fast car, I realized that was when I needed to get out and move to America, and thank God I did.
Well, it's so fun to read about American culture in the 80s from a perspective of an outsider at the time. This memoir is called Reborn in the USA, An Englishman's Love Letter to His Chosen Home by Roger Bennett. The book's available now everywhere, debuting at number one on the New York Times bestseller list. So congratulations on that. And Roger, thanks for joining us to talk about it.
Thank you, Brian. Thank you, Sioux City. Courage.
This has been Having Read That on KSCJ Radio in Sioux City, Iowa. I'm Brian Vakalskis. Check out all of our episodes on our website, kscj.com. Also be sure to like Having Read That on Facebook and subscribe to our iTunes podcast. Thanks to segment producer John Weisler. We will be back next time.